So I've kind of taken off on what Dave has been preaching on the past few weeks. I've titled my sermon, though, What Did Jesus Say? And What Is He Saying to You? Subtitle is Trust and Obey. I'm going to go right into our first scripture, which is out of Proverbs. There it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. When Dave asked me to preach this Sunday, I must say I was a little more than hesitant. I don't want to say it's not my calling, because it might be. He's been calling me Pastor Jeff for quite a few years now. But I'm trying to learn what God wants me to do and to trust him more. So when things like this come up, I'm trying to say yes. His recommendation to me was to talk about what I am hearing from God. So this message is directed at me a lot, but hopefully it will benefit you guys also. Jack asked me if I was going to give my testimony. Well, I might include part of my testimony interwoven throughout this message. And I ask that you bear with me. I wasn't nervous earlier, but now I am. Thanks, Yvonne. So what does it mean to trust the Lord, to trust in the Lord? The Hebrew word for trust is batach. And I think my iPad didn't show the Hebrew up there. But that's, if you read Hebrew, that says batach. It means to hie for refuge. And I had no idea what hie meant. This was out of the Strong's Concordance. That was the meaning, hie, to hie for refuge. So I looked it up, and it means to go quickly. So we are to go quickly to the Lord for our refuge. Trust is an action word. This scripture has a number of action words. That they're to trust, to submit, to fear the Lord, and to shun evil. A lot of times we'll just say, yeah, I trust God, or I believe in God, but there's some requirement of action behind that. I mean, to show God. I mean, God knows our heart, but I think accompanied with all that talk is some action. So over the last several weeks, we heard the series on What Did Jesus Say? Many of these sayings that Jesus gave us weren't so easy to take. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And Jesus also said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. I'm trying to be more vulnerable in my life. I've tried to tell people that I'm like one of the most selfish people I know. And I used to not believe that. I used to think I was the most selfless person I knew. And somebody accused me of being selfish. This was 20 years ago. And I thought, you know, that's crazy. I'm not selfish at all. But in hindsight, I realize I am a pretty selfish person, and I'm hoping that now that I'm aware of that, that I'm striving to be a little less selfish. And I think this scripture about denying yourself and taking up your cross, it really is, in my life, it's a difficult thing to do. You know, it's something, you know, like Ruthie was saying about those scriptures, we have to pray them over ourselves daily. You know, we have to do this daily. Jesus even says, pick up your cross daily. Jesus also told his disciples, or the people, one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. I'm not saying that Jesus is telling everybody here to go and sell everything they own, but in my case, I've been hearing for a number of years, you know, reduce, and come down to the point where I've been even talking about selling my house because I feel God calling me to do something more with my life that owning a home precludes me from. You know, it's a bit of a burden. I didn't own a home until 10 years ago, you know, and it was never a problem for me living in a rented apartment or living in a house and or living in a guest house. And for me, owning a home has been a burden. And I'm a single guy, and do I really need a four-bedroom house? You know, I rent out rooms, but that's not what God is calling me to do. I get sidetracked, sorry. This is going to be a short sermon, believe it or not. There are other hard sayings, or hard for me, that Jesus has asked us to do. You know, two of the most important, which I find it difficult to live by in my day-to-day life, especially at work, they're found in Matthew 22. Go ahead and... Oh, that is it. Sorry. He's on the ball. So Jesus tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. You know, that it sounds easy. I mean, saying it is easy. But just like trusting in the Lord, it's been hard to do in my life. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I know I love myself. I just said that. I'm a pretty selfish guy. But loving my neighbor, that comes hard. It comes at a cost. Hopefully I'm learning more every day that, you know, to live more like Jesus. But it's a struggle sometimes, you know. Being selfish and being a single guy for so many years, I've been able to live my own way and make my own decisions, and a lot of them have been bad. We'll cover that. But living for other people is not an easy thing to do, you know, for me. One of the most difficult things, in my opinion, that Jesus has said can be found in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And he tells us, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles.' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Not long after I came to the Seed, Rick and I became pretty close friends, and one time we were down at Winco shopping, and I don't know if Rick remembers this, but to me this is something that struck me and has lived with me, that I've lived with for a number of years since then. But we were there, and I was getting peanut butter, and there was a guy there, and he said to me, "Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" I said, "Yeah, Lord Jesus is my Savior." And he says, "But is he your Lord?" And that hit me. At that point, I knew I had not made Jesus Christ my Lord. I had asked him to be my Savior. I was counting on that. I was, you know, taking that little fire insurance and sticking it in my pocket. But I hadn't made him Lord of my life. I hadn't, you know, put him on the throne. You know, today is Christ the King Sunday. If you didn't know that, that's what Sherry was sharing with us. But I had never set him up as king over my life or as Lord over my life. And I remember back when I was in middle school going to a Bible study, or going to a party. It wasn't even a Bible study, but it was like a church party. And they had this little brochure, and it was all about, you know, either you're selfish, your inner focus, you know, you put yourself on the throne of your heart, or you put Christ on the throne and you put other people before you. And I remember seeing that, and I never understood it. And it took 30 years, 40 years for me to really learn what that meant, which was to die to myself and to let God rule my life, you know, and make Jesus the Lord of my life. I printed this all up, and my printer didn't work. Good thing I had my iPad. That's the reverse curse of technology. You know, you use your iPad, it goes bad, and then you don't have a printout. So I wanted to share a little bit about myself. I keep talking about, you know, where I was. Well, I wasn't sure if I was going to bring this up, but I think it fits into my message a little bit. Some of you know this, if you're from Emmaus or Credo. I mean, Credo's recovery ministry, so it shouldn't be any big surprise that for years I struggled with alcohol. And, you know, not putting God on the throne of my life had really, you know, I'd go for times when I'd be doing okay, and then I'd go through times when I wasn't doing okay. And it, after my mom died and I moved into her house, my brother and sister were there. It was a lot of stress. It was a lot of stress getting them out, and I started drinking a lot. That's about the time I started coming to the Seed. And even though I was coming back to church and getting filled with the Word, I was still trying to do life on my own power, on my own strength. And it didn't work. You know, and like I said, I would have good times and I would have bad times. And there were a number of times where I almost lost my job. And, you know, thank God that I had an understanding boss and, you know, people that really cared for me. I worked through that. And it was almost a year ago today. Well, I'm sorry, a year ago on Thanksgiving when I stopped drinking, when I finally just came to that point where it's like, I have to stop this. I'm not representing Christ. I'm not letting him rule my life. I'm this close to losing my job and, you know, this close to just losing my life because I've been, you know, doing things on my own steam, making my own choices and living the way I want to live. And like I said, it was back in August of last year, I was started going to AA, but I wasn't really listening. You know, I heard people talking. It's like, oh my gosh, how long are these? People have been in for 20 years. You'd think they'd be okay by now. But I really, you know, I white-knuckled it for 3 months, and then Thanksgiving came, and, you know, I live alone, or I don't want to make excuses. I started drinking again in just that 1 week. And that was where I really almost came to the point of losing my job. But I humbled myself to my boss and told him what was going on. But I started listening, really listening, and hearing what the people were saying, listening to them, and how, you know, AA is a secular program, but there's a lot of God woven into it. And a lot of the people there recognize God, and some of them recognize Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, you know, I started working through the steps, and the third step is to make a conscious decision to give your life and will over to the care of God. And that was the point where it hit me where I was and, you know, why I was in that situation, and the only way that I was going to overcome it was through the power of Christ in my life. So what is Jesus in these scriptures? What has Jesus been asking us to do with all of these difficult sayings? You know, what do we do? What do we do to make sure we have set him as Lord over our lives? So in Matthew chapter 7, right after the previous scriptures about him telling us that he was going to, or if we, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But right after that, he tells us how to set him up as Lord over our lives. And he tells us. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it has a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus doesn't say, obey me. He just says, if you do these things that I say, you will be a wise man. You know, I don't think anywhere, there are places in the Bible where, you know, God tells, I just pulled this out of my head, that, you know, he tells the Israelites that it's, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, I don't know that there's anywhere that Jesus flat out just says, obey these words of mine. But he does say, you would be a wise man if you listen to these words, if you hear these words and put them into practice. And I think that's where, you know, I have a hard time, you know, sometimes thinking, am I doing this because I'm trying to be saved? Am I doing this because I'm saved? And I've dealt with that a lot over the time, and I think a lot of times when I was trying to do things in my own strength, maybe that's what I was trying to do. Live up to this and you'll be okay, even though you've got all this baggage you're dragging behind. But, you know, that's not really what Christ wants us to do. It's not a burden. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, it's not a burden to try to serve God. If you're having a hard time doing it, ask yourself why. On the other hand, we are saved, and out of that salvation, you know, it becomes a joy for us to do these things that God has asked us to do, or that Jesus asked us to do. Jesus is asking us to trust him and to obey him. And like I said, I used to struggle with the idea of obeying him. Is that works? Is that fruit? I think C.S. This told you this is going to be a short message. I think C.S. Lewis sums this up the best. I was not intending to find this quote, but this quote is like the perfect quote for what I was trying to impress. He says, to have faith in Christ means, of course, trying to do all that he says. There would be no sense in saying you trusted a person if you would not take his advice. Thus, if you have really handed yourself over to him, it must follow that you are trying to obey him, but trying in a new way, a less worried way. Not doing these things in order to be saved, but because he has begun to save you already. Not hoping to get to heaven as a reward for your actions, but inevitably wanting to act in a certain way because a first faint gleam of heaven is already inside you. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word that has come down, that you sent through your Son, that it might change our lives, Lord God, to completely turn us around, to help us repent, to give us the joy in obeying you, Lord, that we might have a more happier, more fulfilled life. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked